listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
I want to welcome everyone back to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm Ed McGrogan. I have a special guest today, a frequent Tennis.com contributor and one of the certainly the most well-respected, longest tenured journalists really in tennis, in the game. I hope you don't mind me saying that about you, Matt, but we have Matt Cronin here. I wanted to catch up with Matt before the U.S. Open. He'll be back, reporting from Flushing Meadows. So, Matt, just wanted to say hi, and I haven't chatted with you in a little while. So, just how are you doing?
I feel great. I mean, it's been, I think, 5 weeks when I got hurt very badly, which would have been in August. So, March. Sorry about that to you guys. March 15th. And I've been working very, very hard. I realized it was tough. Every single day I had to get up and see what was going on and whether I was going to survive in my life and all that kind of thing. But I'd say about six weeks ago, I could get up every single day and said, okay, I want the U.S. I want to be able to get there. I'm feeling better. I'm faster. I can talk more. I can read a little bit more. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on with me, but I kept pushing. And finally, it looks like, what is it now? Another week, something like that?
1 week.
I better
to
start
go.
Talking, okay?
One week.
Exactly. And listen, I mean, I've already told you this, and most people, I'm not going to be perfect. You know, I'm going out there. I'm going to be talking. I'm going to try. It's not like last year or anything like that, but I really want to try. I want to be there. I think I'll be able to do it at least a little bit, and I can be quiet a bit, you know, not like I used to. So hopefully it'll be exciting, and can't wait to get there. Serious.
Yeah, no, I know that you'll be on the U.S. Open's radio commentary as you've been there doing that for years, not only just at the U.S. Open, but at other slams as well. And, I know that's where your voice has been missed across the whole tennis community here. So if you don't mind me asking, just for readers and listeners who may not know, just what did you go through earlier this year? I think it was right after the Australian Open.
Yeah, that was very disappointing because I was in Australia for 5 weeks, and it was a great time. You know, I worked, I think, every single day beginning December 26th. And then I'd say, which I actually haven't told many people, but about 3 days before the AO ended, I started to feel a little bit strange. And I actually called a couple of people at home in the United States and said, I don't know what's going on here, but around my body, it feels very strange. I've never had it before. I'm 52, but it was 51 there. But I better check it out when I get back to California. So I did, and within 2 days, it hit me hard. You know, I'm sitting, I'm talking to my kids, laughing, telling me things to them, and then I almost collapsed. And then really since February there, I just started being looked, you know, from all over the place in San Francisco, looking at my body, seeing what was going on. And obviously they saw that I had something to my brain and what a cancer was, what would happen, you know, all of that. And it really didn't happen till be March 5th. They didn't really know what happened until I lie down and all the doctors are there and they rip it out of you and they look to really see what's inside. And I did very, very well. However, they also saw that there was something inside of me and they put it together and said, look, you've got something inside. We don't really know where is it going to go, what's going to happen later, all of that. So had to start from there. Then I got slammed hard 10 days before that, which was the 15th, even though I felt fantastic, right? I don't want to get too much into all this, but I was having a very good time out in the morning in California, running around, right? We all do, right? We like to have an exercise, all that kind of thing. And then I got hit out of nowhere, almost died on the 15th. And woke up the next morning and said, look, I'm going to live here, so don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. it's different. I can't talk the way I can, all of that. It was totally different, but I'm ready to fight. I want to go regardless of what happens. So from there on, you know, I've been fighting the whole time.
Yeah.
Lots of doctors and all that. But I mean, really the major thing for me, and I've been seeing the doctors the every 30 days, something like that. He said, I've expected well beyond most people. I mean, seriously. And I'm not saying I'm going to die next year or 5 years or 10 years, but he said, I've been incredible the last, I'd say, 2-3 months, that I've been rusting really quickly, so I'm happy about that.
Oh, that is just fantastic to hear from myself, from everybody else that I can speak for. And you know, when you, I think, were absent from you know, a lot of the really the day to day tennis that I think you've thrived in for so many years, you know, we saw I read so many nice tweets of support from, you know, fans, media, even players. Steve Tigner, who works for us, Joel Drucker as well, they wrote some really lovely pieces, you know, about you. And I think, and just, you know, the impact that, that you've had really on the sport from a journalism perspective. And I just want to say it's fantastic that, you know, in whatever capacity you'll be at the Open, and like I said, I know you'll be doing some radio work there. It's going to be great to have you back there, you know, in the room with all of us, and you know, letting people, you know, get their fix of you again, because I think a lot of them miss hearing from you. So yeah, I just want to say it's great to have you back.
Well, that's very, very nice. And on my side, seeing what people are saying to me, really, people are so nice to me, and who are so legitimate to me. That includes you and the friends, and how nice they made me. I mean, it wasn't like they just went in there and said, okay, Matt, good luck, blah, blah, blah. I mean, people actually knew. And I'm telling you, from one day all the way until I die, when 20 years, 30 years, 1 year, whatever, I'm always going to respect what everyone said recently again. Because they're so, so, so nice, really. And it makes, for me, for tennis, I just absolutely love there. Love being there, people there, the whole thing. So let's do it again, right?
Let's do it.
We'll try it one more time. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. Just, we're just about a few days away, really, from everything. So, you know, while I have you here, I definitely wanted to, I guess, just maybe catch up with you, get some thoughts you have on really the game going into the Open. I mean, what have you been watching lately in terms of tennis? What have you caught from a tournament's perspective?
Well, I'd say though, you know, with me, because this is realistic, I mean, I'd say the first 2 to 3 months after I got hurt, it wasn't as if I could actually watch it more. So I started with in France about halfway through, okay? So I could watch it, I could see it, I could remember it. And from then on, I've watched it as pretty much as I could. So then now, getting through yesterday, for we had Cincy, then we had Canada, all of that, I've been looking close. And at this point, it's pretty wide open to everywhere. And we have what? So yesterday, which I'm sure you saw, you had Roger getting through. He wins Cincinnati. We find out that Rafa can't play. We have Novak, who all of a sudden had a beautiful Wimbledon, excuse me, to be fed, what was it, 7-5 in the fifth or something like that, right, to win?
Yep.
Right, something like that. But then he comes over to the U.S. and doesn't look like he's very good. And he isn't sure as to how he's going to play his best, right? And we have Murray, who hasn't played well now, what, almost a year? Since he's been hurt?
It's been, so I mean, since
at
he,
least.
Really, since he, you know, almost, it's kind of, he won Wimbledon, and we really just haven't seen that type of Andy Murray since that point. So it's been puzzling for Murray for sure. You know, he'll be ranked number 8 or 9, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know as well as I do, or better, okay? But if you look at the ATP right now, what was the last time you said, okay, I know the guy who's coming, there's going to be one guy who's going to be great, and it's totally open? And right now, I'd say the last time might have happened, what, 2003 with Andy? And I mean,
yeah, essentially
that,
essentially the pre-Roger era of dominance. I mean, you have always had, for the most part, the tennis year has largely been almost written by this point in the season, by late August, and that's really up for, you know, it's for the taking right now. I think this U.S. Open in particular is an opportunity for a lot of players to really, you know, kind of assert themselves as having the best year of everyone.
Absolutely. I mean, look at, so it was nice to see that Roger actually won an ATP again, right? Because it's been tough for him to win. What was it, 2012? He's still more or less up there, right? Because he won in England, right? And after that, he won, what, two tournaments last year, as far as I remember. So he's getting close, very, very close, but he hasn't actually won it again. So you tell me, he comes in next week, is he the man? Because yesterday, all of a sudden, he wins a tournament again. He'll be close, I'd say that, but I can't see for sure that he's got the big guy coming in, because I don't see that. Him or anyone else at this point.
Yeah, I do, when we do our picks, I will be picking Roger to win the Open, I think, for not only just on his form, but because of, you know, so many other factors that are kind of really coalescing into this moment. I think a huge opportunity for him at, you know, age 33 right now, which I don't think any of us foresaw that long ago. But I am going to give, you know, Roger the nod with this. It will be so interesting if he does perhaps end up playing Djokovic, you know, in the final. They're going to be the 1 and 2 seeds. And, you know, the kind of history that they've had at the U.S. Open, in particular with Djokovic saving match points against him in two straight semifinals, two straight years. So, you know, if that does happen to pass, that'll be something. But there are, you know, there are chances for any number of players, like you say.
Some, though, what about the, I mean, you know, again, but you look at the younger guys. Who are the younger guys now who are actually going to go in? I mean, we looked at Milos, lost, I think, what, six times now to Federer?
And he hasn't looked good in many of those losses. And
Dimitrov, too. Dimitrov I like to watch, but I'm not sure, can he actually get to the final? That's a long way, even though he's got talent.
I think the best of five-set format on him is still going to be an obstacle kind of until proven otherwise. I think he has made such good strides across the board, but, you know, best of five is a different dynamic all around. He's going to have a very high seed, I will say that, so he's going to have a good draw no matter what, and maybe, you know, you can kind of work his way into this type of event, but it has been, Dimitrov overall has not disappointed this year whatsoever, him and Raonic.
No, definitely. I mean, hey, look, you look at Dimitrov, maybe he's playing a little bit better than his longtime girlfriend now, and that would be Maria.
Yeah, let's get it. Exactly.
We can switch over to that one.
Yeah, let's. I mean, you are that is a fine segue as any there. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, the women, like, I'm thinking about the women as well, and it is kind of in a little bit of a state of flux, almost just like the men to a degree. You know, we talk about Sharapova there. She loses a match to Ivanovic that she shouldn't have lost in Cincinnati. But it's kind of emblematic of where the tour is in general. This has not been Serena's, you know, best standout year by any means. Sharapova is also, you know, certainly hasn't won every match that you might expect her to. And you're seeing, some resurgences by the old veteran guard. You know, Ivanovic, of course, Venus as well. Venus beat Serena in Montreal. We're also going to see, I think, at this Open, a lot will be determined and said about how Simona Halep does, given that number two seed she's going to have, and also Bouchard as well, who, you know, has had such a good streak in the majors, but is really tired out and kind of come back to earth this summer. So, you know, maybe some of your thoughts really on where the women stand.
Well, again, listen, Serena Williams, I would say, after more or less July, she said to herself, if I'm actually going to play again this year, I got to play very hard, have to get on the courts, not worry about how tired she was, started going for shots again. She does not, and you can tell when she's being honest about this, she said going into Stanford, which would have been in late July, I do not want to have a whole year when I'm not losing big players. So she did. I mean, she She played three matches in a row, which is, as far as I can remember, that she's played three straights in a row and not been tired and not just kept fighting even when she wasn't playing well. So she played very, very well. She wins two tournaments, lost to Venus, but now she comes into the U.S. again. And at least I think for most of us, if she plays well and she has more confidence, she's going to be the person to pick out. But as what else you were saying, there's so many things to deal with. You have Halep, who's a young player, number two, hasn't won a slam yet, but she's getting closer and closer, almost knocks out Maria, I think 6-4 in the third, I think it was in Cincy, something to that effect. And you can tell she's
and she had that great, you know, and she had that great French Open final with Sharapova too. And you know, like you said, knocking at the door, but not there yet.
Right, and of course, and Sharapova herself, you know, she's not perfect after France again, but that was a gigantic win by Maria to begin with. But getting in, I'd say the past 2 or 3 weeks, she's just pushing a little bit, but she basically wants to getting better when she gets to the NYC, because she's got to win a new one there too. I mean, she's what, four slams now, or is it five? Four slams, correct? Five slams,
one of each, and who would have thought that the most she would have is at the French with two?
Yep, and she's got, I think, since 2006 that she won the U.S., something to that effect. She needs another big one. Lee is out. I mean, she won Australia, which is kind of strange. Petra, now here's another thing again. I mean, she's in England, what was it now, 6-7 weeks ago? She wins it for the second time, and then she starts playing badly again immediately. Into the U.S., she could be out in 2 or 3 days, you know? And you were mentioning it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that. I mean, it's almost comical with the Kvitova stuff. It really is just the same old, you know, even the second Wimbledon title doesn't seem to change, really just an incredibly inconsistent player. And she could be out in round one. You never know.
She could be, or she could reach the final. But you're right, it's just impossible to know with her. I mean, she's big enough to do so, but she gets frustrated pretty quickly. But you're mentioning back to Eugene Bouchard, who obviously had really good Australia, RG, right, Wimbledon. All of a sudden, because I never saw that last year, she'd be that good as she did in 2014. I thought, okay, gradually she could be top 10, maybe top 5. But all of a sudden, she's pushing all the way to the back. I mean, really, she's very, very fast. She's consistent. She's smart, all that. But like you were saying, she goes back to Canada and she's got a huge amount of pressure, you could see. And all of a sudden, she lost it. Now the question with her is, can she go into the U.S. and say, okay, this is the last big one. I want to show myself. And I would suspect, I don't know about you, but she's going to be very, very tough there because she's got a lot of good stuff going on right now.
She is doing very well, regardless of just even those two little slip-ups there. So I think it's, you know, I think she'll kind of go down guns blazing, perhaps, you know, as a way to say it, with what she's got going on at the Open here. But like I said at the top here, I want to kind of wrap this up for a bit and just let all of you know, once again, Matt is on Twitter, as he always been, at Tennis Reporters. One of Sports Illustrated's must follows for, I think, 2 years running. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I think it is just another honor. I thought I would have to mention there. And as good as it is, you know, speaking to you now, hearing you now, like I said, you'll be back, in the U.S. Open radio booth, which you can catch all of, those broadcasts on their website. You know, it's going to be great to hear from you again there. And also, of course, to, see in person in just a few days. So, I'm really looking forward to this U.S. Open, you know, more than others for that reason. And, it's good to hear from you and good to have you back, Matt.
No, listen, very, very nice of you to bring me in for me to try to talk in front of you. So that's big right there. So I hopefully, you know, you guys are all going to be fantastic again. I hope I'm at least mediocre. If I can do mediocre, I'll be happy about that. But seriously, I cannot wait to do it. Seriously.
I think you're grading yourself on the Federer curve there. It's your mediocre is kind of in the vintage range for pretty much anyone else, myself included. So Matt, thanks for coming on. We'll see you in a few days. And yes, to everyone out there, thank you all for listening to the Tennis.com Podcast.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com Podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.